Thanks for joining us for another God-inspired message from C3 Church Monash. Connect with us online at c3monash.org.au, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
My goodness, I'm going to read a scripture and then I'll let this wonderful worship team have a seat. Who's thankful for these guys that can just take us to the presence of God? Oh, man. Okay, here we go. So I'd love to say that I read this scripture in my morning devotion, but the truth is I just Googled worship. And it was a great scripture. I thought I might share it. It's in the NIV, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23 to 30. So if you feel comfortable, just maybe close your eyes and just let me read this to you and let your imagination take you to where this scripture leads, a picture of God, of how much He loves you and wants to be in connection with you. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord all the families and nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Father, in this place, You reign over every situation that we might find ourselves in. Lord, You reign. Lord, over the thoughts in my mind, You reign. Over our families, You reign. Over this church, You reign. Lord, over this service right now, You reign. Whatever You want said, let it be said. Whatever You want done, let it be done. Lord, we don't just want another regular service. We want another transforming experience in this place today. Lord, shake us up. Let us leave this place different to how we walked in. In Jesus' mighty, glorious name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you so much, team. Although half of you bailed already, but that's how good they are. Wow. So as Ben shared, Pastor Steve and Deb, they're on annual leave. Very busy pastors looking after a whole heap of churches and dealing with a whole lot of problems I couldn't even imagine nor want the responsibility to do. So they thought, oh, while they're away, let's get Andrew up and see what happens. So hopefully the place won't burn down, but I can't promise that. So anyway, the theme this month in church is worship, heart and soul. Worship is very important. I love what Pastor Phil, the leader of our C3 movement, says, and he says, worship, it's like water to a plant. Without water, plants die. Without worship, we die. Worship, it nourishes our soul. It keeps us buoyant with life. It connects us with Jesus. And it's very important that we learn how to worship. But I also believe that to limit worship to just the experience that we just all shared together, that 20 minutes or so, kind of diminishes the power of worship. I firmly believe that it is possible that we can live a lifestyle of worship. And that's what I want to talk a bit about today, how to have a lifestyle of worship, how to bring God into the mess, which is our lives. Well, the mess of my life, you might have pretty clean lives compared to mine, and that's totally cool, but to bring God into it. Worship, it's an expression of our necessity for God. I know I need Him. Who else thinks they need God? Cool, I'm not alone. That's very good. Worship, it's an example of how He treasures humanity when we live out a heart of God in our community, with our friends, in our families, when we just love people because He loves them and we do kind things because, hey, that's what Jesus would want in your world. Worship, it's our complete surrender to Jesus and it's connecting with heaven. Who felt heaven in this place today as we're worshiping before? It's a beautiful thing. I was preparing for this morning, I was reading all the worship scriptures, and I read through John chapter 4 and verse 23, and it reads this: "But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way." And the word truth just kept going over in my mind. Truth. Truth. Because for me, the truth is quite messy. I'm a very dysfunctional person. Not always clean cut. But yet, God's asking us to worship in truth. So worship, to my revelation realization, it doesn't always have to be like this clean cut holy moment. It could be wherever you're at, like what Ben shared. He kind of stole my message before, like when he was just sharing. I'm like, yes, we're connected somehow. But it doesn't always have to be this holy clean moment. How can you worship a God in truth if you're denying parts of your humanity and emotions? It's discovering how to worship God in the anger, in the disappointment, in the triumph, in the good times, in the bad times. And I'm very encouraged by King David in the Bible. Who's familiar with the Bible and King David? A few people. But if you don't know who King David is, he's the second king of Israel. He's described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart, which is a pretty awesome thing to have said about you in the Bible. And I just believe that his life demonstrates a life of worship because he considers the Lord in his decisions. Like there's a few times, yeah, where he didn't at the start, but by the end he's like, man, I should have brought God into that at the start. And I've been reading through the Psalms and been really encouraged how David talks to God. Some of it is quite, whoa, you can actually talk to God like that? So I've been starting to talk a bit to God like that, not like irreverently, but just getting my heart out, worshiping in truth. So a few examples I have in the Psalms is that some of them would start with just, Lord, destroy them all, get rid of them all. Psalm 28 verse 4, give them the punishment they so richly deserve. Measure it out in proportion to their wickedness. Pay them back for all the wicked deeds they've done. Give them a taste of what they have done to others. Wow. But then also on the flip side, when David feels alone, and he writes, O Lord, why do you stand so far away? That's an okay question to have to God. Why do you feel so far away? In Psalm 13, verse 1 and 2, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Getting it out. That's worship right there. But the thing is, although the Psalms would start like that, they wouldn't always end like that. See, David had this thing, he'd always bring God into his mess. So then we read Psalms like Psalm 25, verse 8 and 9. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching his way. Psalm 18, 25. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, you show integrity. To the pure, you show yourself pure. And one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 19, verse 14. It's, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. David's heart for the Lord is revealed in the songs he wrote to God in the Psalms, or the poetry, or what he thinks of God, how he sees God. And as you read through the Psalms, you can actually correlate points in his life, in David's life, to where you can also read it in 1st and 2nd Samuel and the book of Kings. So you can actually read like what he's going through and then the psalm he wrote for that particular event. And one of the most famous psalms is Psalm 51, where David, did the naughty and had an affair and then on top of that committed murder and kind of didn't realize it, just being a king, just sort of got so lost in it. And a prophet came to him and told him this story, or just gave him a story, and David's like, man, that guy's a complete idiot. Man, that guy should be executed. And then the prophet said, well, King, that's you. And then, oh, the realization hit. And so he wrote this psalm, Psalm 51. I'm just going to read verses 8 to 11. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Don't banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Through every season. David's life was pretty intense. Like, imagine you're 13 years old, and you're just minding your own business, hanging out with some sheep, and then this random prophet comes to you and says, you're going to be the next king of Israel. What do you do with that information? Because there's already a king at the moment. You can't just go, oh, excuse me, buddy, get up. I'm taking your place. So you just got this, you've just been told and been anointed, you're going to be the next king. You have to sit with that for the next couple of years. And then a few years down the track, David and Goliath, people familiar with that story. But I was thinking about that. And so an army's job is literally to fight the enemy, whether you're scared or not. So the army's not even doing their job taking on this giant, so that this 16-year-old kid just rocks up and goes, oh yeah, I'll do it, I'll take him on. With like a sling, boots done. Like, what the actual, like, this guy's life is intense. And so the King Saul at the time is like, oh man, David, he should hang out with me for a bit. Come hang out at the palace, bro. He's like, sweet, the prophecy's being fulfilled. They're hanging out. And then the crowds are starting to sing better songs about David than Saul. Saul starts getting jealous of David. And then as David's like playing the harp to the king gets angry, picks up a javelin, starts throwing it at David. What the heck? And then the king's trying to kill you, but you love the king, and now you're in this place of, man, like, I don't understand why someone like that I love, that I've cared for, that I've done no wrong by, is trying to kill me. Has anyone experienced that? No. Wait, a few people. Wow, that's intense. Didn't think that was going to happen. But then after that, he's on the run for 15 years. Imagine the prime of your life from 20 to 35, when you're most strong. You're running away from a king, hiding out in caves and deserts, doing it tough. Man, patience. Patience. My goodness, I would not be as tame as David. I probably would have left the faith. I'm sorry, I'm not as strong in the faith. But man, I just love David's heart, not giving up on God, not giving up on a promise. And then after Saul passes away, David becomes king. Fulfillment of a promise. Yeah, you triumph. David's writing awesome psalms. But then David stuffs up. He has an affair. Commits murder. And he writes about that in the psalms and repents before God. And it's a downer. And then things just seem to get a little bit worse for him. Family dysfunction. His son's trying to take over the throne, and now David's on the run again. What a roller coaster of a life. But it's a roller coaster of a life that demonstrates how to live a life of worship through the good times and the bad times. Worship is how we acknowledge God every day in our decisions. It's not just an event. It's so much more. The more I personally worship God, the more I come to realize I need him so much more than I originally thought. The more I hang out with him, the more I invite him in, the more I'm like, man, how did I do this without you in the first place? Life is more bearable with him in it than without it. Let's train ourselves to worship through all seasons. I used to be the Christian that would just worship in the good times. And then when the bad times hit, I'd be like, oh, man, really struggling to connect with God right now. Let's not be like me. Let's worship in the good times and the bad times. I'm going to share a few stories about my life. And I in no way, shape, or form mean to be like, oh, look at me, I've got it all together. I just feel like I need to share these stories because there might be someone out here under the sound of my voice that if my story could encourage your walk with Jesus, then it's my duty to share it. So, yeah, for those of you who weren't aware, years ago now, I used to be the youth leader of this church. But my goodness, now we have the best Papa and Mama Smurf youth pastors of all time, Dom and Peter Bennett. Oh, my goodness. Youth is in way better hands than it ever was with me. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, at the time, all I've ever really wanted to do is share the gospel to pastor and just help people connect with Jesus. And so I was literally living my dream as a youth leader, like, man, this is fantastic. But I also had some stuff going on that I was not addressing. And so I had an infamous breakfast with Pastor Steve after we'd been discussing things back and forward for a year and a half to 2 years, and nothing was changing. That the pastor, well, Steve said that, you know, I don't think I understand the consequences of my actions and that I actually need to seek help. And so, but to do that efficiently, to seek help without the responsibility of people. And so they stood me down from being a youth leader, which really, really hurt. To some of you out there, you'd be like, oh, it's just a position at church, like whatever. But for me, like the weight in my soul is my dream literally just got pulled out from underneath me. And it was terrible. And I remember after that infamous breakfast, driving to work, because it was just before, it was like a Wednesday before I started work, we caught up for coffee. And I pulled into my work driveway, and not fully understanding what was about to go down emotionally, spiritually in my life, I just remember praying to God, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, but Lord, let my heart always be soft to you. Let it be soft to you. Let me not grow hard against you. And to that day, well, to this day, I guess my heart is still soft to the things of God. But it's that when times are tough, being able to pray things like that. Lord, let me not grow hard to you. I don't want to lose you. Like David was saying, take me not from your presence. But then on the flip side, on a triumph, last year I had the awesome privilege of being able to buy property. I'm like, sweet, never thought that was going to happen. So bought property, and I just remember going through my brain, I can't wait until I get the keys, because the first thing I'm going to do, I'm not going to take furniture in first, I'm not going to invite friends over first. The first thing I really want to do is just get in there, chuck on some worship music, and just thank God for this place, and just pray in each of the rooms, just like getting the presence, inviting the presence of God, inviting the Holy Spirit into my place. And then keeping it there for when if I eventually move on, the presence of God will still be there, that miracles will take place in that space. So, like on the high of my life, like, man, owning like an apartment, this is insane. But just inviting God into that space. We can't afford to let our situations determine how we worship. We can't afford to let our situations dictate if or we don't worship. And I'm not trying to negate or ignore maybe some hectic stuff that you're walking through right now. And I'm not trying to justify like, you know, oh, it was a good thing it happened to you. Because sometimes just life happens and it's not good. It's just a terrible thing. But it's bringing that to Jesus. Tears and all, anguish and all. We bring all of it to Jesus. I used to be the type of Christian that would give God all my good stuff. But then I'd genuinely feel and think that, okay, but when I fix this up, I'll bring it to you. And it was this deception I was living in when God's like, you can only beat that stuff with me. Bring the mess to God. Tears and all. How can some of the stuff that has happened to us be good? And that's a heavy question. But then I look at this cross and I think, from face value, what could possibly be good about sending your son to be crucified, to die a painful death on a cross? How could that be good? And yet, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 17 says, it is the very power of God at work, saving all who believe. God is at work in your life. And I'm here to proclaim to you today that your story isn't over yet. That God is doing something in your world, that he has not given up on you, that you are not alone, that God is working something good in your life. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Jesus Christ is the only entity in the entire universe that could possibly take the mess that you are walking through, the tragedy that you're walking through, and spin it around so that good can come out of it and his name could be glorified. He is the only entity in the entire universe that could possibly do that. There is hope for you today. It's not over. It's not over. No one is beyond redemption. If they were, then the cross wouldn't be all sufficient. But it is. You're not too far gone yet. Worship is, God, I have no idea, but I trust you. You're still God. I wanted to take time today, extra time, just to worship God. So I know the band just sat down, but I'd like to invite the band to come back up. God, I have no idea what you're doing, what you're planning, but I trust you. At the start of this year, a tragedy struck this church. A young person took their own life. And I'd known this young person for a long time, since they started coming to youth. They essentially were a youth. And I remember baptizing them, watching them worship God, student preachers. There was wisdom beyond his years. And when it all went down, my heart broke. I was like, God, what the actual heck? This doesn't make sense. How could this be good? And I was so affected that at my job, my workmates noticed a difference in me. And they said, oh, Andrew, we think it'd be good if you went and talked to someone, if you went and saw a counselor. And I was like, okay, maybe I do need to speak to someone. So I went and spoke to a counselor, shared what was going on in my life. And their advice was, you know what, Andrew? It sounds like you feel that you need to be on your best behavior for everyone around you, that you feel you need to be there to comfort people, to be strong for people. And I was like, yeah, that does sound a bit like what I'm going through. And then they said, well, my advice is, I think you should go out bush and just break stuff. Break twigs, throw rocks, scream, shout. Oh, okay, this is not what I was expecting, but, you know, I'll do it. So, and this was in the afternoon, so I'd already finished work. I drove past my house, grabbed a baseball bat, and I drove out to just this place that I meet with God. Sometimes I just ride my bike, my motorbike, not a push bike. I ride my motorbike to this spot, and I just connect with God there. Just hang out with him. Just pray. I don't know, it changes every time, but it's a place that I meet God. And I rode out there and just started going to town on some twigs and rocks and picked up a rock, smacked it with a bat. There was a bush there that's not a bush anymore, just like completely annihilated this bush. There was so much anger on the inside of my heart and so much grief. And I was just like starting to scream and shout and just have a dialogue with God that I probably couldn't have. We're probably going to share from this platform because there was a bit of explicit language. Don't judge me. It was heavy. It was crazy. And it's like starting to rain. I'm like, man, this is something out of a movie. This is ridiculous. And then I'm thinking, I have a metal baseball bat. Is this the safest thing to be doing in the middle of the country? Probably not. And I just remember just launching my bat, like just throwing it so far away, regretting that I'd have to go and get it. But I wasn't thinking about it, just threw it and let out this shout, this guttural, like, it was loud and long. And I'll never forget what happened next. As soon as I did that, two things happened. One, these dogs responded in the distance. They went, I'm an idiot. But then also remember just this presence hit me. Just boom. And I felt like God say, I'm just as angry as you are. And in that statement, it wasn't, I'm angry at the young person for doing what they did, but it was just, I'm angry that there was a young person suffering that much that they felt that was the next logical thing to do. That a young person was being attacked by the devil. Like, how dare he attack one of my kids? Just this anger on the inside. And in that moment, I just like, didn't feel as alone. Didn't feel as lost. Feel comforted in that. And then just put on some Jesus music and just stood there, eyes closed. Wasn't so much raising my hands. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but just letting it into my soul. Letting the words sing what I want to in my heart, but my words can't voice. And so in this moment right now, let's all stand if you feel comfortable. And if you need to do business with God, this is your moment. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in divine appointments. I believe that everyone here under the sound of my voice, you're meant to be here today. And whether it's some grief or some loss or some anger that you need to worship with God in, or some triumph, like, hey, I'm winning in life. God, thank you. But we're going to worship together this Sunday morning, July 2018. God's going to invade this space. You're going to find you're going to get answers in this meeting that you've been searching for years. You're going to find solutions are going to come. Doors are going to open. Why? Because that's what God does. He doesn't leave you hanging. Things are going to shift in this moment. So as the band lead us in worship, if you want to come down to the front, because I'm always a fan of actions express inward decisions. So when I raise my hands, it's an inward decision of I'm surrendering to Jesus right now. When I take steps forward, it's I'm coming to you, God. I'm coming to the foot of your cross. When I'm kneeling, reverence. Whatever you feel comfortable, whatever you want to do, this is a moment where Jesus is going to meet you. So thank you, band. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we honor you here today. We bring you into our mess, or our victory. Whatever it is, Lord, we don't want to do life without you. We invite you in. Help us, Lord. We need you. Help us to live a life of worship to you. In Jesus' name. While we're in this amazing presence of God, I'm going to ask, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes in a moment of reverence. And if you're in this place, I'm going to invite you, if maybe you're not in a connection with God, but after hearing the message today and seeing people respond to God, people don't do this because, like, God's real and he cares for you. And if you're here on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to shoot your hand up so I can see it, and then pray a prayer that'll invite Jesus into your heart. And I'm not going to invite you out. I want to talk to you after the service, so please stick around. But if that's you on three, if you want to invite Jesus into your heart, or maybe something happened in life and you know that he's not at the center, he's not holding the spot that you know he should be, and only you can know what that feels like. But if you want to bring him back to that place, this prayer's for you as well. So on the count of three, if that's anyone in this place, you want to reconnect with Jesus, get right with Jesus, or you're just not sure if you're going to heaven, just shoot your hand up on three. One, two, three. That's you in this place. Awesome. Thanks, mate. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? You're among friends here. This is why the church exists, to connect people to Jesus or to bring them back to Jesus. I'll give you 10 more seconds. God won't fight this. It's totally up to you. In this moment. Thank you, Lord. Awesome, mate. I see that hand. Brilliant. I'll come talk to you guys after the service. But what I'm going to do, I'm just going to pray that prayer right now. And maybe if you're praying this prayer for the first time, millionth time, whatever, just come talk to me after the service. I want to pray for you. So if you feel comfortable, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today to give you my life, my past, my present, and my future. I give it all to you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And thank you that I'm going to heaven. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you have any prayer needs, email prayer@c3monash.org.au or connect with us online.